Janie Lee Grace. Welcome to the Natural Health and Sobriety Show on UK Health Radio. Hi, and welcome to the Natural Health and Sobriety Show on UK Health Radio. I'm really delighted that I have got such an incredible guest for you today. I've interviewed Dr. Thomas Levy in the past. He has written so many amazing books. He has such an incredible story to tell. And the last interview that we did was a few years ago on the power of vitamin C, which we touch on again in this interview. So if you enjoy this, please drop me a message. You can always find me on social media. I'm very easy to find at Janie Lee Grace. I'd love to know your thoughts on this particular topic, something, as you'll get to hear, very close to my heart that I'm going to be writing a lot more about in the future. Well, I'm so delighted to be able to chat to Dr. Thomas Levy, a board certified cardiologist and attorney, interestingly enough. Thomas, there is so much I could say about your background. I don't really know where to start, but maybe you could just blow your own trumpet a little bit. We can definitely share that you've written so many fantastic books, and then we're going to get into a few specific ones. But just share a little bit about the highlights of your incredible career.
I suppose the highlight actually was meeting and getting to know and then being taught by Dr. Hal Huggins in Colorado Springs, Colorado, back in 1993 or 94. I was a mainstream cardiologist at the time. I got to know Dr. Huggins. He said, come by my clinic sometime, see what we do. And he had a phenomenal clinic, 60 employees, people coming in from around the world. But anyway, I did go by, and I saw a little old lady in a wheelchair getting dental work. And periodically I'd go by and see it, and she was getting stronger and more vital as she got more and more and more dental work. And I said, Dr. Huggins, what's going on here? And he pointed to the IV, and the lady was getting an IV before, during, and after it. And I said, okay, I give up. What's in it? And he said, 50 grams of vitamin C. And literally in that instant, my entire life changed. And as I like to say, I'm not in the habit of denying what my eyes witness. Mm. Okay. I don't have a good mechanism for making believe something that I know is there is not there. And actually that began my whole crusade, if you will, odyssey with vitamin C. And of course its early connection with dental toxicity and dental infections. And I guess the rest is history. I worked with Dr. Huggins for a few years. I gave up my mainstream cardiology practice, which I was happy to do. And eventually went to law school because I saw how vigorously Dr. Huggins was harassed by so many different individuals and institutions. And I said, well, I need some self-protection to go along with my education.
Yeah.
And then wrote... I think some 12 books after that, and spent most of my time reading, writing, and lecturing. And so that sort of brings us to where we are now.
Yeah, absolutely. So what is it about vitamin C then? You know, what did you discover that made you, well, literally change career effectively, literally kind of, as you say, it changed your life. What was it that you discovered?
Well, although I certainly didn't realize it at the time that I had that event at Dr. Huggins' clinic, but then later on, I found that all disease, 100% of disease, is caused by oxidative stress, meaning increased numbers of oxidized, electron-depleted biomolecules throughout the body. And I also knew early on that for whatever reason, empirical observation, intravenous vitamin C would quickly neutralize the toxicity of any toxin. Didn't matter what it was. Didn't matter what the chemical configuration was. And I said, how can this be? How can one simple little molecule like vitamin C neutralize non-specifically thousands and thousands and thousands of different toxin molecules, different chemical structures? And the only logical answer, which has since been very well validated, is that all toxins do their damage by the final common denominator of causing the oxidation of a biomolecule. So taking the electron away from the biomolecule, rendering it no longer functioning and just occupying space and blocking the function of other molecules. And then the toxin would take these electrons and keep it. And then vitamin C, I realized, could come in, do one of two things. It could immediately neutralize any toxins that were still circulating because they were seeking electrons, and vitamin C could donate the electron and quench them. Or the vitamin C could go in after the fact with the biomolecules already oxidized, come in and then recontribute electrons to those molecules and stop the disease process. But the thing that was really amazing to me is not only that it could do this, but that really 100% of disease is a unique array and concentration and location of different oxidized biomolecules. And that's why toxins, different toxins cause different diseases, is because their chemical configuration causes them to selectively oxidize different biomolecules in different concentrations at different locations. So that's sort of how that evolved. And of course, there's so many other things that vitamin C does, but it really does them all because, as complex as biology is, and it can get pretty involved, there's an enormous simplicity to it as well. And that simplicity is basically what I just said, which is all disease is excess oxidation, and all effective remedies are repair of that and blocking of new toxins. So whenever you have an effective clinical protocol, it does two things. It repairs and it prevents. It goes in and repairs the biomolecules that have been oxidized, and it seeks to find out and stop the new toxins that are coming into the body or being generated inside the body on a daily basis to keep that balance in the tissue. What's winning on a daily basis? More new toxicity or more antioxidant neutralization? And that ultimately is what determines whether any chronic disease goes into remission, stays the same, or continues to evolve, is that balance between the new toxins and the new antioxidants coming in to repair the damage.
So, I mean, we can get obviously we can get very technical, but to bring it back to a really simple question, if you like, why are we then so deficient and depleted in vitamin C? If we take the stance that our bodies are clever and they want to heal themselves, is it simply, in inverted commas, that we have that we have our diet is such that we are just not getting enough of the vitamin C that we need to be taking, or is it that the toxicity we're exposed to is just too much to have to create that balance naturally, if you understand the question?
All of the above, Janie. Yeah, that's because, yes, first of all, I mean, if you compare our environment and what we are exposed to on a daily basis, our toxin load and our toxin exposure from air, food, water is astronomically higher than 60, 70, 80 years ago. Okay. I mean, when you bought food in the supermarket in the 1950s, you could consider it organic. I mean, that's
Because
how
they
rich the
didn't even
food
have the
was.
chemicals to put on it, did they?
Exactly.
And
Okay.
usually it was grown locally anyway, so it hadn't
So
been
the
flown
toxins
thousands
take
of
out the
miles.
nutrients, have their own toxicity, and then also depleted in the food, just vitamin C. So you have those two factors. And then probably at least with vitamin C, this is makes it unique as a nutrient. At least with vitamin C, we're all pretty much genetic mutants. We lost our ability, which most natural animals in the wild have, to make vitamin C in their liver in a four enzyme sequence from glucose. So, what we should be doing is making large amounts of vitamin C every day, 24/7, secreting it into the blood and keeping off the toxins. And the amounts are what's important too. If you look at animals that make a normal amount of vitamin C and are roughly the size of a human being, those animals are making 5, 6, 7 9, 10 grams of vitamin C a day. And think about that. That's internally generated. The amount of supplementation you would have to get to actually get those 10 grams inside, you would be enormously higher. So this is being generated in the body, secreted into the body to deal with that. And furthermore, when those animals get severely sick, the liver upregulates and might start making 20, 25, 30 grams a day into the blood to deal with this. So this is why we tend not to, and it's understandable, I suppose, appreciate that the fact that we don't grasp diseases that affect everybody. We always look, well, there's got to be a normal population and an abnormal population. Some people have this, others don't. That's how we make normal ranges in blood tests. And we say, well, this is the range that occurs in normal people, and these are the ones. Well, what if everybody's in the same bag? Then that normal range in the blood work no longer pertains. We don't know what the normal range is there. If you have anything that affects nearly the whole population, how can you know then what is normal? We think these days normal is feeling pretty good on four or five different prescription medications. That's not health. That's not health. But that's why vitamin C is so unique and why the demands we have and what we should take. I mean, it seems counterintuitive to people that are just talking about diet and this, that, and the other. Well, you should be able to get everything you need from a good diet. Yes, theoretically, if you're genetically intact and if you're not dumping tons of toxins into your life on a daily basis. Every toxin, remember what I said, is a pro-oxidant, okay? You got to pay the piper. Let's put it simplistically, if you take in a ton of toxins on a daily basis, you got to take in a ton of antioxidants. You just can't make believe and have it all go away.
Yeah, absolutely. So, in a sense, even if your health is relatively good, you're not going to make it on a glass of orange juice and a salad. It's not going to be enough, is the bottom line, is it?
No, not even close.
No.
You might feel that you're doing real well when you compare yourself to the rest of the population. So, if the rest of the population is eating a lousy diet, taking no supplementation at all, then you on a good diet will definitely be healthier. But that doesn't mean you've come close to your optimal health.
So what do you recommend then? What would you personally take? How, I know, you know, I appreciate it is going to be different for everyone, but what would you personally take in terms of for general maintenance rather than if you're treating a heart patient?
Well, I have my top eight. Okay. I wrote a book called Death by Calcium, where really all disease has increased calcium inside the cells as a cause and a reflection of oxidative stress. So the first four supplements are specifically designed to bring those calcium levels down and bring the oxidative stress down. And those supplements are vitamin C in multigram doses. Vitamin D in a dose that can get you above a blood level of 50 nanogram per cc. Then magnesium, very critical because one thing, magnesium is the natural antagonist to calcium. So it's the single most important supplement you can take to bring those calcium levels down and make literally all the cells healthier. And then the fourth one is vitamin K2, which is a powerful regulator of calcium metabolism as well. Then we have the next four, which are the ATP production stimulators. Okay. I pose the point that you have a healthy cell, no matter what the disease process, you have a healthy cell when the vitamin C levels are normal and the ATP production, that's the energy molecule in the body. ATP is your energy molecule. When you maximize ATP production inside the mitochondria, ATP equal energy. It's that simple. Well, these four supplements directly go into the mitochondria and stimulate what's called the electron transport chain, which has four stages. And each of those stages works to bring the electrons that come from your diet and deliver it biochemically so that it finally gets delivered to an enzyme that makes ATP. Well, the first step is what's called Nicotinamide adenine dinucleotide, NAD. Okay, a lot of talk
I'm
about
glad you
NAD.
said
Well, then
that.
most people either don't know about it, or if they do, they don't realize they don't make enough. So the supplement you take there is niacinamide, vitamin B3. And hopefully, if you can take it, a multigram dose as well, even though the RDA is 14 milligrams. So this allows you to make more NAD. The next stage is another substance called FAD, and vitamin B2, riboflavin, is specifically allows you to make more of this and stimulate the pathway, and that's maybe 400 milligrams a day. Then the third stage, a little more costly, but an extremely important supplement that we no longer get enough of in our body on a regular basis, is coenzyme Q10. And in this regard, you should optimally take 400, 500, 600, 700 milligrams a day. And then lastly, interestingly enough, is a supplement called methylene blue. Methylene blue comes in and specifically gives an electron to the fourth stage of this series, bypassing the first three stages, bypassing the oxidative stress that would naturally be produced by any metabolic process, and really cheats the whole system and just goes directly in and starts producing electrons. So the methylene blue, for most people, I would say 25 to 30 milligrams a day. And the
It's
thing is,
expensive, isn't it? It's very expensive,
well,
methylene blue,
it's
isn't it?
expensive. It's expensive in the sense that if you're really poor, yes. If you're not really poor, you should be putting your money into this a
Yeah,
whole lot
exactly.
more than all the other little things you might think might be helping your health or this, that, or the other. Because my goodness, the impact that I've seen of this simple protocol is profound. And the thing is what I'm talking about is these supplements positively impact the cellular metabolism of every cell in your body. So if you got a headache, if you got this, if you got joint pain, if you got whatever, if you got cancer, if you got fiber, it helps them all. In some cases, if the process is minimal enough and you take a large enough dose, lo and behold, you resolve. But remember now, we talked about this too. Remember now, this is the supporting side, okay? We still can't ignore the toxin loading side. So if you do all of this and decide to keep root canals and other infected teeth in your head, it's going to help, but it's not going to help close to as much as if you stop the new toxin load coming into your body.
Yeah, absolutely.
The station that makes you feel good.
Delightful news, air travelers. Going in and out of airports without getting sick can be challenging. Time to take charge of the air you breathe with Nasal Guard. Nasal Guard topical gel defends by blocking harmful airborne particles and viruses. Try Nasal Guard for air travelers today. Visit Amazon or nasalguard.co.uk to learn more about Nasal Guard spray and gel products. Again, that's nasalguard.co.uk. UK.
Apples and pears, beef and skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, Ant and Dec, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com. Strawberries and cream.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
When you vacation with Norwegian Cruise Line, every day is a new day. Get a taste for Barcelona, then savor incredible dining options back on board one day. Connect to ancient history in Athens, and then disconnect completely in our spa another day. Wherever the sea breeze takes you, come aboard and experience a different tomorrow with NCL. Visit ncl.com, call your travel agent, or call 0333-336-1472. Norwegian Cruise Line, Ships Registry, the Bahamas and USA.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Just back on the vitamin C, just, you know, what's a dose that you would consider a good maintenance dose? Because, I mean, all supplements are not created equal, are they?
Exactly.
You know, you can get absolute nonsense if you go in the average high street store. I think you and I might have had a conversation about vitamin D when I interviewed you before. And I think I told you back then that I'd had shockingly low vitamin D levels. Shocking. I think they were at 12, for God's sake.
Wow.
I know. And here's me kind of, you know, queen of natural goddamn health. And I hadn't got it checked. This was a long time ago. And then when I got a prescription from the GP for vitamin D tablets, I went along to the chemist and literally he came out and said, oh, do you want tutti frutti flavor or lemon? What? So I looked at the insert and I saw that they contained, well, for starters, they contained artificial sweeteners. Can you believe it? And then secondly, they were 200 IU of vitamin D. So wow. I just said to him, do you know what? Keep it.
Exactly.
I'm not interested. Went away and got myself a 3000 spray and got my levels right up to, you know, the doctor had never seen a graph like it, a graph of recovery. Mm-hmm. And obviously I said to him, you know why, don't you? Because I didn't take the crap you recommended. So I got myself up to speed and I'm now okay on vitamin D. But on vitamin C, again, you know, there are some tablets, supplements, whatever that people buy that it's not going to do anything.
Well, the thing about vitamin C and it's really, you can't take too much of it. Unless, of course, you're taking so much that it's causing an osmotic effect that you're keeping loose stools. I mean, if you're taking enough vitamin C, okay.
Yeah, it'll make you go to the loo, won't it?
Right. Outside of that particular effect, you can't really overdo it. It's like overdoing too much of a nutritious food.
Right.
I mean, your vitamin C, by virtue of all the properties that I told you, is your primary most essential nutrient. So it's not a drug. It's not an ordinary supplement in the sense that it's just having some sort of different effect. It's the primary fuel upon which every cell in your body runs. Mm. As a practical point, okay, and anybody that's listening, I can't tell you what your best dose of vitamin C is, but most people should be taking, in my opinion, between 3,000 and 9,000 grams a day. So either 1 gram every 3 times a day, 2 or 3 grams 3 times a day. Mm. The most simple way to take it is in, and I recommend, because pills always have a lot of other garbage in them.
Yeah, yeah.
Just sodium ascorbate powder.
Yeah,
ascorbic acid powder is fine, but it's a little tougher on the stomach. So sodium ascorbate powder. And for those who want to spend a little more money and not be hassled with supplementing quite as much. I mean, I confess, I'm a once a day supplementer. I can't take the multiple doses all day long.
That's you just throw
me.
It in.
Yeah. So I try to get it all done. And in that regard, a liposome encapsulated vitamin C.
Yeah.
And in your neck of the woods, that's Altrient.
Altrient.com. Yeah.
And I say this because ever since the first liposome company, Livon Labs, which is Altrient in England, same company, started this 18 years ago, nobody was doing, and nobody knew what a liposome is. A lot of people still don't know it, but had no heard of it, supplemented with it. Well, Livon's skyrocketed in prosperity.
Yeah.
And so everybody saw this, and now there is so much fraud in the liposome business, I can't tell you. I mean, people just, whatever it is, well, this is, we put this in here, it's liposomes.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like, it's kind of a nasty commentary because so many people, so many businesses have no problem committing fraud. And they have no problem stopping it, but they have to be officially reprimanded. So you just need a super vigilant governmental oversight for people to give proof that they're taking the supplement. And the other problem is if you take any form of vitamin C, you're going to feel better. Okay.
Right.
But you're not going to get the benefit of the liposomes. And with the liposomes, it's what I call a long acting form of vitamin C. Because it's in the liposomes, it gets inside the cell without being dispersed and eliminated quickly in the urine like regular vitamin C. So you can take 1, 2, 3 grams a day of this type of vitamin C, and that gives you your coverage very nice without going into the 8, 10, 12 gram range.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, just to reiterate then, for anyone who's thinking, oh, well, I've got my multivitamin, so I'm good. It's not going to be enough, is it, of any of these important things?
Not even close. Not even close. I think it's good to take a multivitamin, multimineral with this one proviso. No calcium, no iron, no copper. Mm. Those are what I call the toxic triad of nutrients. You need them in a certain minimal daily dose that you acquire from your diet. And above that, they reliably induce toxicity. And this is sort of counter to many other good supplements, which is the more the merrier, the more the better. Mm-hmm. Not the case. I mean, calcium, iron, and copper, while they're no doubt absolutely essential for normal metabolic health inside your cells, they're also the three things that are utilized by your body to make a cell sick and to kill it. Mm. Okay, or to kill a pathogen that's coming in. It's all how you manipulate those levels. And nobody gets a copper deficiency. I mean, that's one of the biggest lunacies there is out there. They have people that have written on copper, and they say you need it for so many enzymes, this, that, and the other. Well, yes, that's true, but they're continually recycled. So you don't need to be taking in large amounts on a daily basis because you're not getting rid of it to any significant degree. So those recycle, same thing with iron. Many coenzymes recycle.
A lot of people do say that they are, a lot of women are told they're low in iron, though, aren't they?
Yeah, and the thing is you need two things to know that you're legitimately low on iron. You need a low ferritin level, which is the iron storage form. But more importantly, you need to demonstrate that you don't have enough iron in your body to produce enough blood. So you need to have an iron deficiency anemia, and not just anemia. Oh, my goodness. There's so many cancer doctors and other doctors out there that say, oh, you're anemic. I'm going to give you some iron. Well, that's the worst thing you can do for a person who has anemia but is not iron deficient. Because you're just adding more toxicity to their misery, okay? It's a technical point, but a valid point. You have a certain morphology, what's called hyperchromic microcytic. That has to be the type of anemia that you have. Then it's appropriate to take iron, but only until the anemia resolves. And of course, since nearly all iron deficiency anemias arise due to excess blood loss, you need an evaluation for a bleeding tumor or cancer or something like that as to why you should be losing iron.
Yeah, yeah. One last question on the vitamin C.
Sure.
As it's so important and so needed by everyone, why the hell are we not given it? Why are we not told about this? Why is it not readily, you know, I mean, why did you have to, after a big time career in cardiology, why did you have to then have this discovery? What's going on?
Well, people don't like to hear this, okay? But the vast majority, not the majority, the vast majority of physicians do not have the welfare of their patients as their number one priority. I'm sorry to say it, but anybody that's been through the pandemic that can see what's happened, see what's promoted, see what was suppressed, see what was banned, if you could witness that and still just pick out a doctor in the phone book and figure out that he or she is going to do everything that's best for you as their primary priority, you're living in a state of delusion. Okay. Mm. So that combined with the fact that, again, sorry to say, but collectively, doctors are the most incredibly arrogant, egotistical people you could possibly put together. And because of that, they never take any advice. They never take any input. I'm the expert. You're the peon. Don't bring me a paper. Don't waste my time. My time is valuable, blah, blah, blah. It's sad. It's very sad. But the point being is, just because, I mean, vitamin C has been doing all these things for 85 years.
Yeah, exactly. It's not new, is it?
And there's over 60, 70, 80,000 articles in PubMed literature on it improving and curing so many different things. How many times do you think vitamin C gets mentioned in the 2,000-page textbook of medicine? Yeah. Zero.
Yeah. Okay. Well, a little bit like nutrition generally.
Sure. I mean, so when you say, well, why doesn't my doctor know about this? Well, he's two things. He's ignorant, or three things. He's ignorant, he's arrogant, and he's not open-minded. Lots of docs, they don't want to take the time. But I think personally, this is more of a supposition of myself, so many doctors don't make this evaluation because somewhere deep inside they think, hey, this might be something new and I'll have to change the way things I do. So I just won't let it be brought to my consciousness. Mm. That's my sad, but as honest and accounting as I could give you.
Sure. That. And also, you know, we have to follow the money chain, don't we? I mean, unfortunately, again, it's incredibly sad to have to say it, but the reality is, you know, the cancer industry, just to take one, is big bucks.
But good and, point, too. Industry. You know, industry. That's what it is.
Exactly.
It's an industry. Yes. Yeah. No, it's a...
It's a sad state of affairs. I have to talk to you about dental toxicity.
Sure.
And health. And when I saw the piece that you'd written about the link between dental toxicity, root canals.
But I didn't say link. You know, I said cause and effect.
Cause and effect. Beg your pardon. Yeah. I was. I mean, I wasn't surprised at all, but it was good to see someone in your position writing about this stuff, because we never hear this. We just never hear it. And as many people listening to this will know, I've had a hell of a journey this year with dental stuff, and feeling unbelievably grateful that I've got it sorted. But oh my God, if I could wind back the clock, I would never, ever have had a root canal. And I would now, you know, I've told my kids, I've told everybody I know, don't even think about it. I'll come and lie down across the door of the goddamn, you know, clinic before I let you do that. But that's not generally known about. This is, you know, this is still allegedly new. So tell us the top line.
New since Dr. Weston Price started talking about it in 1910.
Exactly. I mean, there'll be lots of people who don't know who Dr. Weston A. Price is, but yeah, I mean, maybe you'd like to just explain that I mean, he did incredible work about with the linked teeth, didn't he?
Well, some of the things he did that were more impressive than anything else is, I mean, I'm an animal lover, so I'm not crazy about this, but he did experiments. It had rabbits. And it literally take an extracted root canal from a patient who had either heart disease, neurological disease, musculoskeletal disease. And he would take that tooth and surgically implant it subcutaneously in the tissue of the rabbit. And the rabbit would quickly get the same disease and die that the human had that had the root canal extracted. Wow. But even more significantly, he would then take the same tooth and sequentially do that to 30 consecutive rabbits, and it would do the same thing to all 30 rabbits. So it showed not only life-threatening toxicity, it showed specificity, okay? No two root canals have the same array of pathogens inside them. Different pathogens have different areas they go, different toxicities, so they cause different problems. But they're all toxic. And this was shown by Dr. Boyd Haley some 20 years ago. Over 5,000 consecutive extracted root canals from around the country in the United States, he analyzed and demonstrated severe toxicity when assayed against important enzymes in the human body, neutralizing those enzymes. And he also showed that if just a tooth was taken out that was not root canaled, this was not the case. So it wasn't some sort of contamination. The thing about the root canal is, and the breast cancer, is the fact that, remember I talked about what causes disease, increased oxidative stress. What causes cancer? The thing that causes the highest degrees of oxidative stress. And what causes the highest degrees of oxidative stress is when you have pathogens in a place continually replicating and making new toxins. That's where your toxicity gets maximal, and that's where cancer develops. And as is discussed in the paper, we see these pathogens isolated inside the breast cancer, inside the tumors itself, and outside in the extracellular space. Now, anybody that can see that the drainage from the lymphatic circulation from the root canal down into your breast, it's a perfect mechanism for doing this, can say, oh, well, that's not cause and effect. That's correlation. I mean, you have the breast cancer and the pathogens are there. That's an association. You know, when a policeman shows up at a crime, you can't say the policeman caused the crime. That's an association. It's just a load of crap. Anybody that can actually believe you have a huge focus of pathogens in a particular area and then a cancer develops, that that's not cause and effect, is just in a state of scientific denial. Ironically enough, Janie, in most or a large bulk of the research that I went through, and there's 262 references for this particular article, most of them all from PubMed, they mostly came from the endodontic, that's the root canal specialist journals. So these are individuals who are, I can't tell you from one to the next. I'm sure there are some root canal doctors who are so happy with their procedure and they're so convinced it's healthy.
Well,
they would do root canals on their entire family. So they're deluded.
Well, I mean, the thing is, there is this thinking that we must save the tooth at all costs. I've been told that a lot of, you know. Yeah.
Save the tooth and forget about the
bite. Kill you, yeah. Yeah, literally that. So I don't necessarily think that everybody, that everyone who's doing these root canals is trying to kill us. I think they genuinely believe they're doing the right thing.
But they are in an enormous amount of denial because, like I said, what I put out in this paper came from their journals. It came from their journals.
How can they not have seen it? How are they in such denial then?
Well, you always have combinations of things. One is, it's a very powerful concept to think about doing anything that would literally destroy what you're doing for a living. And then you say, well,
again,
everybody
it's
else
big
is
business,
doing it.
Isn't it? Root canals are big business because they need redoing a few years later if you haven't dropped it yet.
Safety in numbers, safety in numbers. They say, well, thousands of other people are doing this. I can't be doing anything bad. I mean, they use every rationalization. But one of the main points that I make in concluding that paper is the fact that all patients who receive a root canal anywhere in the world receive not an informed consent. They receive an uninformed consent. Mm. Okay, people should be given the options. There are rare circumstances where somebody is so concerned about their teeth, they might say, well, give me the root canal. We don't know for sure it's going to hurt me, and I'll take the chance. That's fine. Mm. Give that patient the option.
Yeah.
But give them the data. Show them these studies that I've shown as part of that informed consent.
Absolutely.
It's just absolutely crazy.
My son was given a root canal at the age of 15 when we weren't there. Literally not even discussed. We thought he was having a small filling. We went to pay and suddenly apparently he'd had a root canal. Fortunately, in inverted commas, it went bad immediately. Thank God it did, because God knows
now
what
that is
happened.
Pure malpractice, because
literally
nobody is. Physician or surgeon or dentist should do a procedure that you do not have a specific, I mean, a root canal is not a filling. A filling is not
exactly
a root canal. They're two different procedures. And
most dentists don't call them
that. That's the first time I've heard that.
Yeah, they don't call it a different procedure. They just say, oh, you've got a really big filling here.
You came for dental care, I'm giving you dental care.
Exactly. And you know, in his case, it's been a long journey, but thankfully he's okay. But in a way, I'm super glad that it went bad straight away. It literally did.
Absolutely.
Because otherwise, what the hell, you know? Oh God.
That's what also keeps root canals under the radar is yes, many people have problems, but they don't have them until 2, 3, 4, 5 years later. They don't have their breast cancer or their heart attack. Believe me, it causes even more heart attacks than it causes breast cancers. Okay. And so if something happens at time A and an event occurs 5 years later, it's just natural intuitively to never make a correlation between the two. But in some people, it takes that long to hammer down the immune system to the point that the cancer or the diseased coronary artery causing the heart attack appears.
Right. And then there is another, I don't want to get too technical, but there is another issue here in that which a lot of people don't even know about, and that is cavitations. It's only recently that I really understand what that is. Maybe you can explain for everyone, but my point is a lot of dentists don't know what they are either.
No, not at all. The thing is a cavitation is when you extract a tooth. Traditional dentistry pretty much just extracts the tooth, waits for the blood to clot, and that's it. Well, there's something that the tooth is seated in called the periodontal ligament, which is a thick, hard piece of collagen that sort of serves as a shock absorber for the tooth, but also separates it from the bone. Now, if you pull the tooth out, but you don't cut out the periodontal ligament, the bone that's adjacent to the new hole has no idea there's a hole there. It has no biological awareness that needs to stimulate production. But at the top of the hole where the periodontal ligament stops, then there's an impetus for growth and you'll get a little cap of bone over top the cavitation. And this is significant because while they're evolving in a milieu of microbes and pathogens. So 100% of them are chronically infected. So these are chronically infected holes in your jawbone that occur after the routine extraction of teeth. The ones that get out the wisdom teeth, almost 80, 90% of wisdom teeth extractions end up with these cavitations. And the larger the tooth, the more prominent the cavitation. This sounds disgusting, but it's pathologically true, is when you biopsy or look at the contents of these cavitations, they are indistinguishable and no different from wet gangrene. Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's what you're keeping inside your mouth all the time. One more, remember we talked about new hammer on your immune system. One more new source of toxins coming into your body 24/7, as the young people like to say.
Yeah. So why don't more dentists talk about cavitations? I mean, I have a situation where I know someone who had all kinds of issues going on. They knew that there was something going on, even though they had they'd had a tooth extracted, had a root canal extracted, but there was still issues in the area. So they went to see a very expensive London dentist, paid a fortune for a consultation about why this is still happening, right? So it was only about that. So they did a panoramic x-ray. They looked at everything and they basically said, no, the area's clean. It's all been done well. This is no issue at all. The only thing I can possibly think is that maybe there's still discomfort in the area. Maybe you're getting lymph nodes pop up because you're grinding your teeth in that area. Maybe that's what it is. But in terms of the health, it's all good, right? And then a few months later, we discover it's cavitation.
The thing is cavitations are largely invisible on regular x-ray.
Right.
They show up sometimes if they're really big and grossly enlarged, but for the most part, the bone stays intact even though it's filled with necrotic and infected contents. But the thing is what should become now routine worldwide, where it's available, okay, is the 3D cone beam examination. Okay.
Yeah.
That's the cone beam examination. This brings a resolution of these cavitation defects, of the abscesses at the tips of root canals, and other teeth that have not been root canaled. That's another pandemic around the world, is asymptomatic abscess teeth. Yeah. I mean, believe it or not, a majority of adults have them. Okay.
Wow.
And it's like an infection anywhere else in your body. I mean, would you just leave an abscess somewhere in your body and not address it? One important thing to help these dentists realize something that they've never realized. So many of them just deny that cavitation exists, which is kind of crazy, but they do.
Yeah.
Is as more and more and more of these cone beam examinations of the mouth are done, they're going to finally start having to deal with the fact that, wow, there's this large black defect there that indicates it's hollowed out an abscess. What is that, and what am I going to do about it?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, wow. I mean, we could go on forever, couldn't we?
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
If optimizing your health and well-being is on your to-do list, then let Revive Active, Ireland's number one supplement brand, help you put back what life takes out. All-in-one comprehensive formulas created to offer you maximum benefit, whatever stage of life you're at, and with a range that supports everything from immunity, energy, cardiovascular health, joints, cognitive function, menopause, and even beauty. We've got you and your family covered. Premium ingredients packed into a powerful daily sachet. Simply mix with water to activate for a flavorful health drink. Perfect at home or on the go. Use code RADIO15 at reviveactive.com by the end of January and get 15% off any of our award-winning supplements. Super supplements for a super you.
Nature's Medicine for Modern Living, a people and plants dialogue hosted by Sophie.Health. At Sophie, we bring together experts and voices who rarely cross paths. Our quest is to illuminate the ancient world of plant medicine and reimagine it for the connected age. Join us to explore new boundaries of digital personalized medicine with deep roots in the natural world, and hear from our community of international pioneers who are validating this new paradigm and improving how we feel, sleep, and cope with daily stresses naturally. Sophie.Health, reconnecting people and plants.
Once upon a time, human slavery was just a fact of life. Right now, animal abuse is often considered normal. In time, it won't be. Animal Aid campaigns peacefully against all forms of animal abuse and promotes cruelty-free living.
Check out animalaid.org.uk. It's time for a kinder world.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
People, when they're sick, and I understand this, they're depressed, they're not energetic, they're not go-getters, they're not consumers, they're kind of like, oh God, I'm sick, here's my warm body doctor, take care of me. Mm. Well, if you do that, it's only you that's going to suffer. I mean, you or at least a family member has to get some aggressive, has to be proactive.
Yeah.
Because if you're not proactive, you'll be crushed forever.
Yeah, yeah, totally. Well, thank you so much for the work that you do. It's absolutely amazing. 13 books, I think it is now, isn't it? Incredible.
Yeah.
So people can find your stuff at tomlevymd.com. Is
yes,
that right?
That's correct. Yes, that's
yeah.
Correct.
And is there anything else that you'd like to share with us? Any other websites?
Can email me. I don't hide my email. It's mm-hmm. TELevymd@yahoo.com. I don't do consults, so don't tell me every problem you have and ask me what to do, but I can lead people to different information sources and give them a path that they can take that helps a lot of people. So I don't like to give out a lot of information like this and then hide from the population. I mean, I'm here to stimulate your interest and try to help educate you and get you on your best path toward health.
Yeah, brilliant. I really appreciate it. Dr. Thomas Levy, thank you so much. You've been such a fantastic guest. Thank you.
Okay, my pleasure. Thank you very much. Take care.
Thank you, Thomas. So I really hope you enjoy that, hard hitting though it was. Find me on social media at Janie Lee Grace, and I'll see you next time. You've been listening to the Natural Health and Sobriety Show on UK Health Radio.